Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer podcast, our 32nd episode. It's Tuesday, November 16th, 2012. This is John Callahan on our 32nd podcast, and with us as usual is Tim and Larry. And yes, we are live. We should be live streaming on our site this week, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So.
More technical
So,
difficulties always seem to crop up every time.
yes, well, that's the way it is when you fool with computers. So how are you guys doing today? How are you guys doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
I'm doing good. Thanks, John. How about you?
I'm doing all right. We certainly have had a very busy day on our main tech site, NeoWin, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. There's a we certainly apologize again for our problems with the live feed. We did get a recorded podcast up. Thank you, Tim, for handling that last week. We really appreciate that.
No worries.
And even though this is the Neo Gamer podcast, I'd like to perhaps talk a little bit about what's been happening with Microsoft today with the full reveal of the Surface 7. Well, not quite the full reveal, but at least we know what some more technical details and, more importantly, the price of the tablet, which will be $499 for the 32-gigabyte version without the touch cover, which, all things considered, I mean, no product sounds perfect, but from this thing, it sounds pretty cool. I mean, I think it actually might be a pretty good portable gaming machine if all goes well. What do you guys think?
Yeah, just on the spec side of things, it has got Nvidia's Tegra 3 chipset inside, which is
Yes, it does.
very powerful. And of course, Nvidia really likes their gaming optimization. They like to get developers on their side and making games that are optimized for that chipset. So hopefully that'll come across to the Surface, and we'll get some really well-performing games. And even if it's not optimized, the chipset has a lot of power behind it, so it should definitely compete. It's not as fast as what's in the iPad, but yeah, it should definitely compete, especially when Nvidia gets their hands on, I think they have their Tegra Zone stuff included on a lot of their products, so
Oh yeah.
I'm really
Well, we
glad to see.
don't. Yeah, we haven't really heard too much from Nvidia about what they're going to be doing with if going to be anything special with their with the Surface and with Microsoft. Hopefully, maybe we get some updates on that. Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about this. I mean, there are some things that I personally don't care for. A lot of people have been moaning, I think, the most about the resolution, which is relatively low compared to the iPad, even some Android tablets that are out there. But honestly, I think resolution in terms of a portable device like this, it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. My main concern is that, the games look, if gaming on this machine and applications on this machine look good, and it looks like they will work pretty good. And then something else that Windows RT will have is that you'll be able to multitask. You'll be able to have two applications running at the same time, something which I don't think you can really do with the iPad.
Yeah, that is true. I guess with the screen, I mean, I've kind of been copying it on Twitter because I've been saying they should have included a higher resolution screen. But as people have pointed out, some people can't tell the difference between
Oh no.
resolutions, and it is really a tech friendly thing. But they are losing out on a selling point versus the iPad. People will go, "Oh, it looks, the iPad's got a really high resolution screen, and the Surface doesn't." So maybe you should buy the iPad instead. But a problem that
Yeah.
a lot of other people have been saying, I think this is the biggest one, is that Windows RT has no apps at the moment. And,
Well, very, very few apps at
well,
the
it
moment.
has apps as well, like 3,000 or so. I mean, that's not a small number, but it's small compared to when you've got 500,000 on the Google Play Store
Oh,
and the
sure.
App Store. And especially seeing as though this is a gaming podcast, the games that are available right now, it's nothing special. You look through and you've got like
No.
Cut the Rope. I mean, we've all played that before on other
Yeah.
platforms. And you can get that on your phone. We need to start seeing some Windows-specific apps, ones that will make people come to the platform and really, get in there with their Surface Buy. But
Well, we still have over a week to go before the actual Surface launch, and so we may have some more high-end games coming our way that we just don't know about yet. So I think the jury is still out on that. So we'll see. And of course, there'll be more and more applications for Windows RT. And it won't be just Surface. That's one of the things about this is that there'll be also be Windows RT devices from other manufacturers such as Dell and Samsung and others. So it won't be just that. So at least in terms of encouraging developers to make apps for this particular operating system, at least it won't be just this one device.
yeah, that is true. And
So,
also, I have an Android tablet, and when I first
yeah.
got it, I always thought, gaming on this really sucks. I mean, the controls are really bad. And I think Larry had thoughts like this on his iPad when he tried to play Grand Theft Auto 3 with the atrocious controls. But yeah, I just wonder still whether these are really appropriate for gaming. And I remember that what was it, back at, was it CES? Razer, they showed off that tablet with the controllers side by side. I think I'd still like to see something like that out in the market.
Well, Razer's, excuse me, sorry, Larry, go ahead.
No problem. I was going to say, I really would hope that, by default, this thing does have a USB port, so I would hope
It
by
does.
default it supports an Xbox 360 wired controller at the very least, you know?
I would hope
Yeah.
so, yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
I guess because it does have a full size USB port, you could probably even plug in a keyboard and mouse. I know I could do that with my tablet, and that's Android and it has a USB port, so hopefully, it's a Surface, it's Microsoft, it should work.
It should work. I would
Yeah.
hope so. Well, Razer's actually going ahead and making that tablet, by the way. I mean, they confirmed that a few days ago that they're going to go ahead and make that Windows 8 gaming tablet, and they're asking their fans, well, what processor should we have? What should the screen resolution should be and stuff like that. So they're going to go ahead and do that. And there's also a device that's actually coming out around the same time. The Surface is called the WikiPad, which is an Android tablet that will also have a NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor and Android 4.1 that will have it, it can be used as a regular tablet, but it also comes with a portable game console controller that you just slide the tablet in, and it acts like a really big I guess a Nintendo DS or something like that.
It
And I
was
think
expensive, though. Wasn't
Well,
it much more
it's I mean,
expensive than other stuff?
I think it's only like $500. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's relatively about the same as,
Oh, yeah, it is
this.
500, yep.
Yeah, so it's about the same as the Surface, and again, you're getting both the tablet and that controller add-on for the same price. So that's kind of we'll see what happens. It's certainly I'm at, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what will happen with the Surface. I'm still very surprised. We've talked about this before, Tim, that Microsoft decided to go with a Windows RT based Surface first and not an Intel device first.
Yeah, I was thinking they might do both at the same time, especially because other companies are having releasing theirs on launch, but I guess maybe it's not ready. But also, let's not forget with Windows 8 and Windows RT, you do get Xbox Live integration, so you will get achievements with some games, and I think that is a big advantage,
Yes.
especially people who love their gamer score and achievements. And
Yes,
on Windows Phone
there
7,
are.
even the worst looking games seem to have Xbox Live integration, so we hope for some big blockbusters here that you can get your achievements on.
Yes, there are those achievement hunters out there, aren't there? So
Yeah.
that's all they care about is
Yeah.
unlocking stuff.
You
So.
know, one more thing about the tablet, though. I kind of think it's a failure that they're not making it mandatory that everyone includes the keyboard cover. I think they really sh I really think that should not have been like an add-on. Maybe if you wanted that pro version where it's like more like a real keyboard. But as far as like the cover itself, that's the keyboard. That's optional, right? I mean, that doesn't come with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. What I find strange is you can buy this 32 gig version without a cover, but you can't buy the 64 gig version without a cover.
Like, that's right. They forced the cover on, yeah.
So then if you want to get the actual keyed one, you end up with two covers, which is sort of strange. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
They should have bundled with the $499 version at least the most basic touch cover, and they didn't do that, and people are disappointed.
Well, yeah, they might change their minds down the road on that score. And let's keep in mind that Apple doesn't include any kind of first party keyboard for their iPad at all. They let other people use that.
Even more the reason to do it. That's what I'm thinking. That if they did do it, that would have been an even bigger separator, you know? And as far as the resolution, because I do have a graphics design background, I've kind of always worked with resolution, and I'm very hyper sensitive to it. So I do think it kind of does make a difference. I mean, and I honestly didn't really have this feeling until I saw the iPad, the latest Retina version. I mean, there is a pretty drastic difference when you hold it side by side to the older resolution devices. So, you know, I know what you're saying. A lot of people, like my mom and dad, they're a perfect example. They couldn't tell you the difference on resolution, and most people can't. But I'm one of those people that if it can have higher resolution, it should. So that's all I'll say about that as well. But we all know the higher the resolution, the more demanding it is, and that means games probably won't. Yeah, that means games probably won't run as good. So I guess for this first iteration, they had to make some sacrifices.
Yeah, and well, they'll improve if they make a new one. The second one is got to be better. So hopefully we'll see some improvements like that.
One thing I do think that's interesting is that, you know, in the few hands-on articles that have been out, Microsoft said they've been working on this project since 2009. So to me, everyone has been saying, when the first Surface was first announced, a bunch of these PC makers were saying, oh, Microsoft's going to get out of this Surface hardware business, you know, quickly. You know, this is just, you know, to get Windows 8, Windows RT out there, and then they won't make any more. That doesn't sound like – you don't start a project for 3 years and then just abandon it completely without thinking you have a fairly long-term plan. You know, they might decide that unless the Surface, you know, is a total sales disaster, you know, they're not. I just don't see them going, you know, stopping the Surface anytime soon.
Yeah, and it's good for consumers. Although what I did find funny is I put a poll on the sidebar of Neowin saying, "What launch are you most excited for in October?" And it had Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, Surface, and other Windows RT tablets. Surface got 40% of the vote. Other tablets only got 3.8%. So that really kind of shows you that Microsoft is doing it. They're doing it perfect. That is, they're doing it exactly what consumers want, probably except for that little screen thing. But everything else seems to really please people.
Yeah. Well, of course, Apple announced today they're going to have some kind of press event next week. And everyone seems to think it's going to be the Apple iPad Mini. So we'll see if that's true or not. They have, of course, you know, as usual with Apple, they don't really go into any details about what they're really going to reveal. But it sounds like they're going to be pushing that iPad Mini thing pretty soon. So, well, it's been a very busy last several weeks for tech news, and it sounds like we're going to continue that. So, going back more to games now, one thing that kind of got us all kind of in a tither a few days ago was that someone found on the Windows 8 Metro applications or certification requirements is that if you wanted to launch a Windows 8, a Windows RT game in the Microsoft Store, you can't have it rated above PEGI 16 in Europe. That obviously that leaves a lot of games, that are well known and are popular that are PEGI 18 in Europe. And Microsoft really hasn't explained why they've done that yet. It's okay to release a mature game that's slated in for mature in the U.S. apparently, and that covers almost everything. There's very few games that are rated above that, that have the AO rating, and I think most of them are crap anyway. But there's quite a few good games that are coming out, that have come out or will come out that will be rated as at the highest PEGI rating in Europe. And I just think and I just think that's really short-sighted, and I'm not quite sure if politics has something to do with it or not. What do you guys think?
Immediately, what I saw, I think I was the one who reported on it. But yeah,
yeah.
The thing I first thought about was it's kind of a double standard to allow. I mean, even if the ratings are slightly different age-wise, you've got 17 versus 18 for the maximum adult sort of rating in each respective country. But when you look at the games, you're like, well, Skyrim, that's rated M in the US and PEGI 18 in Europe. That's going to be allowed in the US and not allowed in Europe, but it's the same game. It's not like it's different over in Europe and it's more violent or anything. It's exactly the same. So it should be allowed on the store. And I just think that they've just gone, well, that's 18, so we're not going to allow that without actually looking at the content that's in there. So it really surprises me. But
yeah,
I guess
it's
maybe
weird.
They're appealing to people or something. Or, I'm not sure.
What do you think, Larry? You have an opinion on it?
Yeah, I don't get it. They're like Tim said, there has to be some political motivation or something. I don't know why you would choose to try that, you know, even though it shouldn't affect a lot of games, it still affects some, and it makes no sense, really. I guess they're trying to be family friendly or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think there's politics involved, honestly. The European Union has always had problems with, you know, tech companies like Microsoft and Google and things like that, and maybe this is just one way for Microsoft to avoid having an issue with them on these kinds of games. But I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And they have parental controls, so I don't understand why. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can set up your Windows 8 machine to not allow you to install games that are over a certain rating, even if that rating is low, like, I don't know what your ratings are, but like, I don't know, PG or an E or something. I think you can set up to not allow those sort of games. So why would they prevent it, just a blanket ban, when they already have a built-in mechanism to stop people from accessing them anyway?
I don't. That's another good point. Why? What's the point? If their parental control is already built in, that means any parent could say, "Hey, doesn't matter what the game is rated, you're not going to be able to play this game." So, I don't know. It's like I said. I think it's almost purely politics that's going wrong here. And
there's always steam, right?
Yep, there's always steam. Yep. And, you know, something tells me you probably won't get a Metro version of Steam anytime soon. I just call, you know, that could be, I could be wrong, but I don't think Valve likes that idea. So, there was some very exciting news for me personally. I don't know how about you guys feel, but last week, Chris Roberts, the creator of the best known for the creator of the Wing Commander series, announced a plan to launch a new game called Star Citizen, and it's also a space combat game like the Wing Commander games, and he's crowdsourcing it on the game's official website, not similar to Kickstarter, but basically using their own system, basically not using Kickstarter. And I'm actually from I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer. But it looks pretty cool. I think it's actually using the Crytek CryEngine 3 engine, and
ooh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm actually pretty. And it looks like it really looks like a well done space TV movie or feature film would look like in real time, and that's what's really got me kind of excited about it.
What's the name of it? Oh, Star Citizen.
Star Citizen, yeah, yeah. So, and yeah, I think they're trying to raise something like $1 million, and even though the game itself won't be completely ready for a couple of years, pay in for it will be able to buy and get an early version of the game in about a year. So kind of similar to what the Minecraft model is, release an early version and then constantly update it. So we'll see what happens with that. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to checking that game out. I played Wing Commander a lot. Let's just say that.
is this a strategy game, or is it like you're flying around the ships and shooting other things sort of game?
Flying around ships and shooting other things kind of game. It's not like Sins of a Solar Empire or Homeworld was a strategy game. Although I love those too. Don't get me wrong about that. But this is more of an action game.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's been a while since I've played one of those. So, when were they hoping to release it by? I'm just looking on their site.
I think the actual full game, the actual complete game, won't be ready for a while. But an early version of the game will be delivered to the backers of this crowdsourcing effort in a year or so. So that's not too bad.
I wonder if anyone's pledged that $10,000 one that I see on their site.
Wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me. Actually, speaking of crowdsourcing, I'm not sure. Let me just check right quick. But I think the game that's being posted on Kickstarter by Obsidian Entertainment is actually pretty close to finishing up as we speak. Let me just check on that right quick. But they had actually raised something like almost 3.5 million. Project Eternity by Obsidian Entertainment. This is the RPG game. 95 minutes to go, so we have about an hour and a half to go, and they've raised a whopping $3.8 million.
Jeez.
Wow.
That is the highest. That, by the way, that is the highest crowdsourcing project in Kickstarter history. I think Double Fine's Adventure Game raised $3.3 million. So they raised $3.8 million with 95 minutes to go. So that's pretty insane. And obviously, there's obviously a big, huge audience for this kind of old-fashioned RPG. And I said, there's like that. They have one more stretch goal. I don't know if they'll make it, but it says at 4 million, we'll enhance the whole game. We'll still use live instrumentation for the soundtrack, add developer in-game commentary, and use every dollar between 3.5 million and 4 million to enhance the game. Oh, that's cool. So I personally don't really enter into these kinds of crowdsourcing projects, mainly because I feel like, as a journalist, I kind of have to be kind of a little bit objective. And if I put my money into it, it's kind of like me endorsing the game before it's been released. So,
yeah, the thing I'm just not appealed by any of the bonuses that they give you, like all that beta access stuff. I'm probably not going to use that, but I would still pledge like a lot of money, but I just think they're trying to, I don't know. It's just that sort of stuff. I'd only pledge the money to pledge the money, not just to get all that stuff. But I guess it's appealing to people by giving the stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at some of their pledges. Like, they have five backers for – they've sold out. They had for their 5,000 or more backers for this thing to to name and help design an inn or tavern. Hmm. You know, and that's for $5,000 plus the previous thing. And then they had – four people backed the $10,000 or more pledge, which you'll get an invite to the Obsidian Entertainment launch party and play a game in Obsidian. Well, is that worth $10,000? I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess those people are sort of thinking, well, I want the game to be good. I'm going to give my money in support rather than, oh, yeah, I really want that gaming opportunity with the developers. Yeah. I don't really think that's the foremost thing on their mind when they pledge that.
Probably not, but it's still amazing. I mean, everyone's saying, oh, the Kickstarter thing is a fad, you know, and it was going to go away after the first few games got funded, but it doesn't seem that way. We've had a couple of games recently, this one and the other game, I can't remember what the name is, but it's a space strategy game, that got, you know, this one's raised $3.8 million, the other one raised $2.2 million. So It's working. If people really want a game and they want and they really like what they see, then they seem to want to pony up their money for a game that hasn't that won't be released for a year or more. In fact, I think they said that Project Eternity won't be out until April 2014. So, not including things like beta and alpha access, of course. But that's a lot of money to put. That's a big pre-order to put in for a game that won't be out for almost 2 years. So, but anyway, that's anyway. What guys have what games have you guys been playing in the past week or so?
Well, I've been playing Max Payne, the original one, on my phone,
The original Ray.
the original
Oh, that's.
Max Payne. I played the third one first without having played the first two.
Oh, yes.
And so I went back,
Did
I got it
you?
on my tablet, and yeah, I've been playing through them about two thirds of the way through.
Okay. Well,
Nice.
of course, I played the original two on the PC,
Yeah.
obviously. So, but I imagine that it looks relatively the same, I would imagine.
It's not too bad on the tablet control wise. It's better than GTA, but obviously it'd be better playing on PC. But I just figured that was only $2 or $3 or something from the stores, and that's a pretty good deal. And yeah,
That's pretty good.
I'm definitely enjoying it. The thing that I always love about the Max Payne, games is that their dialogue writing is just so good. Like there's just so many amazing lines that they think of to describe Max's situation. Every time something happens, I'm just like, well, that is just a great bit of writing.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Really? I
So, I
love the
mean,
writing. I love the writing too, yeah.
It's okay. I mean, to me, it's fairly boilerplate, detective noir stuff. But but that's just me. I've always loved those comic book cutscenes that they use, which I think gives it a unique look to the game. I really
Yeah.
do love that. And of course, the visuals, even the first game, stand up pretty well considering it's been a long time since that first game was released. So,
Well, I just have to state the first two games are among my favorite games in video game history, so I'm a little biased towards Max Payne. I
No,
love
they're
them.
very good. Very good.
Yeah, and I just think especially like when they came out, there pretty much was nothing like them. I mean, they were like really terribly unique. So I just have a fond place in my heart for Max Payne.
I agree. They're really good games. I haven't played Max Payne 3 yet, so I can't really comment on how that game turned out.
Oh, it
So,
turned out really, really well.
yeah,
Yeah.
great.
Obviously, even playing without playing the first few, I really enjoyed it. Definite game of the year contender for me.
Cool. Cool. All
Yep.
right. And Larry, what have you been playing lately?
I started checking out Dishonored. I'm not too far in, but I've played
Really?
enough to, I'm maybe about an hour and a half in or so. I kind of like it. I don't dislike it, but I'm also kind of left wondering what all the hype is about. It seems
Okay.
good. It seems good. Don't get me wrong. I think I might enjoy it, but I guess I expected more based on the reaction of the community. I don't know. I don't know if it's just there hasn't been a somewhat original first person shooter in such a long time that people are just kind of, liking it because of that, or if it actually does wind up getting better. But so far it seems decent. Again, I only played about an hour and a half, so maybe it starts picking up. The other game I'm playing is Retro City Rampage. I don't know if
Oh
you've heard of that.
yes. Oh, I have
Yeah.
indeed. Yes. So how is
Yeah.
that?
It's hilarious. It's great. It's it's a pixel-based game. The graphics are just totally pixel based. They're real. I don't want to say primitive because there's actually quite a lot of detail in them. But it's like it's a great game because it really does reference so many video games within it. Like it's all tongue in cheek. Just all the little nods to the different games that it does. It really is great. And I mean, it goes way back, like to Duck Hunt references,
Oh,
Frogger
really cool.
references, Grand Theft Auto references. I mean, it references so many games, and it how it does it is pretty clever. And I'm playing it on my Vita, actually, and it's like the perfect game for the Vita, in my opinion, because there's a lot of little challenges that you could just pick up and play that are only like 45 seconds long. So yeah, I'm actually really enjoying that, and that's I probably there. Well, there's no probably. I've actually played that more than I've played Dishonored this week.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah, I've been meaning to check that out on Steam, and you know, it definitely sounds like a kind of a big mashup of a retro game. So, and this game it's been in development for quite a while. It's supposed to have been out several months ago, but I guess the developer just got delayed, and so now it's finally out.
It makes Back to the Future references. There's time travel in it. But yeah, like it's such a weird game, but it's very funny. It's got a lot of humor to it, and it's just fun to play. If you're looking for a serious game, this is not it. But if you just want to have fun, I definitely recommend it to people if they were on the fence about it. It's cool. I think it was $15, and I believe it was money very well spent.
Oh, very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, definitely.
What about you?
Check out. Honestly, I haven't had time. I've just been busy with all of this stuff going on with Neowin and NeoGamer, and I'm going to be very busy for the next week and a half with all this Windows 8 stuff going on. I've got a bunch of interviews I'm posting up, including, by the way, I've got an interview with one of the developers of Skulls of the Shogun, which is a game that's coming out. It's kind of a turn-based strategy game in the vein of Advance Wars. And it's coming out simultaneously for Windows 8, Windows RT, Xbox 360, and Windows Phone 8 all next week.
And that was that Windows 8 exclusive game, wasn't it? It was one that they decided...
It is a Windows... For the PC, it will be a Windows 8 exclusive. It won't be able to play it on Windows 7.
Huh. Now, I remember thinking that was strange at the time, but... I guess the more
Microsoft
they have, the better.
Yeah, Microsoft is really trying. I think this Microsoft is publishing the game, and I think they really wanted to show that Windows 8 is going to be tied in heavily with Xbox 360 and Windows Phone 8 when that comes out.
So Windows 8 comes out next week, huh?
A week from Friday, assuming people don't break. People assuming don't break some retailer
dates.
Embargoes, which which will almost certainly happen, I would think. But next the week after that will be the Windows Phone 8 event, and I know that one of our writers, Andy Weir, is going to London to attend the Windows Phone 8 launch event. So look for that. And then I'm going to Redmond, Washington, that same week to attend the Build 2012 conference. So that'll be interesting. Should be quite a bit of interesting news, and I'll be able to grab from there. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, very. And it's very busy.
Very busy.
Months.
Yes.
Jeez.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to quickly talk about games coming up next week. If you're into that Skylander game, and believe me, my two nephews love Skylanders, the Skylander Giants game, the kind of the sequel to Activision's kids-based game is coming out next week, and it's very popular.
Is that the game with the action figures that actually tie into it?
Yeah.
What a brilliant idea. I really wish I thought of that.
Well, that's why we are where we are, I guess. But so that's coming out next week. And also coming out next week is Forza Horizon from Microsoft for the Xbox 360.
Actually getting good reviews, isn't it?
I haven't seen any yet.
I've seen
it. I know there's a demo out on the Xbox Live Marketplace. What's funny is I used to be really big on playing demos, but these days, I guess just because I don't have a lot of time, I usually just wait for the whole game. I almost feel like I'm wasting my time playing demos these days. I don't know. It's a little weird thing of mine. I used to be really into them, and now I'm just like, I'll wait for the whole thing, or I just won't play it.
I've actually never played demos. I just
Really?
either,
Really?
either just read reviews and then just jump into the whole thing, or just don't get it.
Really?
I don't know. I've just never liked playing just a small bit of the game. I either want you sort of play all of it or none of it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and that's how
I
I am now. But there used to be a time where I remember I like used to look forward to demos, and I used to remember, like, know the date of demos, and oh, this demo's finally coming out. But now I'm kind of the same way. I almost feel like I'm ruining the full experience if I play a demo.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Yep. So, the other big game that's coming out, I guess, next week is a Medal of Honor Warfighter, which, nothing has persuaded me to think that this game is not going to be anything special at all. I mean, it looks like it's well produced and everything. I don't think it's going to be a terrible game, but I just don't think it's going to be anything that I'm going to go, "Ooh, I've got to go get that immediately,"
I'm gonna have to disagree here.
Okay.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about the single player, that it's gonna be like,
Really?
yeah, that it's gonna be better than a lot of people think. And I will play the single player. I probably won't even touch multiplayer, but
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a good war-based FPS. And I always liked the Medal of Honor series, even if it has completely drastically changed over the years. So I will
Well,
definitely.
yeah.
I mean, I used to love the fact that they actually used to be like, somewhat historically accurate and all that. I think we've talked about this before in the podcast. I just always thought it was cool that I was playing something that was actually based on reality, But that time, I know they claim that this is all based on, SEAL Team 6 or whatever it is, but it still kind of seems far-fetched. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, though. I won't buy it. With that said, I won't buy it. I'll be renting it, but
Sure.
I'll check it out. I'll let you know how
Yeah.
it is.
Yeah, they just released Activision actually released the official launch trailer for Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and they showed off, a bunch of stuff from the single player campaign. It looks pretty cool, I have to say. They got stuff like, there's apparently a sequence where you take some kind of spy robot that looks like a spider, and you control the spider, and you look like it's in the robot spider crawling around. So that's kind of cool.
All
And
right.
lots of, you have soldiers that have, predator-like camouflage on their uniforms, things like that. So it looks like at least the single player campaign is going to be fun. And of course, it'll have, multiplayer and the zombie stuff. So it sounds like this is going to be like, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this far more than I was Modern Warfare 3, to be honest. Sounds like it's going to be just like
Well,
a just a monster game in terms of content.
Since we're talking about it, I guess we might as well mention the fact that they announced that Elite is now going to be free for everyone. Did
Oh,
you
that's
hear that?
right. Yes,
Yeah,
I did.
nice.
Yeah. For this particular game,
Oh, okay.
for Black Ops 2, all of the features that were normally you would have to pay for. And for Call of Duty Elite will in fact be free. You still have to pay for them in Modern Warfare 3, as I understand it. But
Really?
yeah. So,
Way to
but
separate the franchise even more. Wow.
yeah. Well, I think they decided to go ahead and do what everyone else is doing, is do the season pack deal. Because when you
Right.
signed up to Elite last year, you were supposed to get all the DLC packs for free. And now they said, we'll just make the Elite, social networking stuff free and charge everyone for the DLC with the season pass stuff.
Yeah,
So
right.
that makes it that I guess that's probably a good way to handle it, I guess. They still have never launched Call of Duty Elite for the PC, by the way. So maybe we'll finally get Call of Duty Elite for the PC
Was
now.
supposed to come, wasn't it? It was, they
Yep.
said it was going to come and they never delivered.
And they
Oh,
never
yeah,
delivered. And
definitely.
I've emailed Activision every so often saying, "Hey, are we ever going to get that Call of Duty Elite for the PC?" And they never respond back. So I may have to email again. It's been a couple of months, so I'll have to check out on that. So we'll see. But actually, next week, the week after that, and the one, and of course, that's the week I'm going to be in Redmond for the Build conference. That's when Call of Duty Most not Call of Duty, excuse me. Need for Speed Most Wanted is out, and that's sort of the game that I'm really looking most forward to. And now that I've seen more trailers, for it, I'm really looking forward to it. So I think I'm gonna be playing that for months.
Yeah, that looks like it. Really does look like it's gonna be great. I have to say. Yeah.
Are you gonna be getting it, Larry? Are you gonna be renting it from GameFly and stuff like that?
Yeah, I plan on getting it for the PlayStation 3 and Vita as well.
Well, if you get into the PlayStation 3, we'll link up with the Autolog and we'll do challenges together and stuff like that.
Yeah, awesome. No, yeah, I might even buy it depending on how it winds up playing out. Like I've always liked Need for Speed, and I like a good racing game. I haven't bought one in a while, so I'm probably going to wind up buying it too.
Yeah, and this is like one of the games that Sony is allowing people to actually pre-order and download directly from the PlayStation 3 so they can get it when it's actually launched on that day. So
Yeah.
So that's something that they've started doing more in the last couple of months or so with a few major games, basically bypassing the retailer altogether. Wonder how GameStop feels about that, you know?
Yeah, day one digital, that's what they call it.
Of course, you can't trade in a day one digital game in when you're done with it and get credit or anything like that. So if the game was going to be like something like $20 or less, I might get it down digitally. But if it's a $60 game like this game's going to be, yeah, I'm getting the physical disc so I can get some credit back.
Yep, I'm absolutely with you there. I mean, they do for a PlayStation Plus, you get like $5 off, but that's not enough for me.
No, that's not enough. No, it's not enough for me. No, sorry. Yeah. So yeah, nice try. If the day one dish was like even $30, I might consider getting it. But
yeah.
But nope, not to me. Well, I guess that's it for this week's edition of the Neo Gamer podcast. And I know we talked a lot about the Surface, but at the same time, I think it's pretty cool that I think this is going to be something a big direction for Microsoft in the PC industry, and this will obviously affect PC gaming in some ways if the Surface turns out to be successful. So I think we were probably good to talk about it on our podcast. So Tim and Larry, do you have any other things you want to quickly mention, or anything you want to plug, anything you want to talk about?
Well, actually, I was just out of the blue, I remembered that 007 Legends was supposed to release, I think, today.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
I tried to find a review, went on IGN, and they gave it a whopping 4.5 out of 10. Yay.
Wow.
Ooh, they said a fundamental misinterpretation of the 007 series after they gave it a bad rating. So,
wow.
And it's got 48 on Metacritic, so it's not looking like it's going to be good. But to be honest, I'm not surprised. But
sorry.
Yeah.
I know you're looking forward to it.
Well. So I guess I'll be skipping that. Sorry. Oh, I actually had a feeling that it wasn't going to be all that great. I think I mentioned it in the podcast last time that it probably was not going to be all that great, but this seems to confirm it. 4.5. Wow.
And it's not going to be released in Australia until October. I mean, yeah, October 31, and then October November 2 is the PC release.
Yeah,
it's being released. Yeah. The 16th in the United States, and then the 31st here. That is just ridiculous.
That never made sense to me. I don't get it. I mean, localization? Is it taking longer for localization? Why does that happen?
I'll email Activision and complain about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, that's too bad. I'm very sorry to hear. I mean, I had a few. I thought it might get something like a 6 or even a 7. But 4.5 is atrocious. Anyway, Larry, did you want to mention something real quickly? Anything on your mind?
No, just The Walking Dead is back on.
Yeah. What's the latest episode? That's right.
Anyway, have you seen it yet? Have you seen it yet, Tim?
No, I haven't.
First episode of the season. Oh, it's awesome.
Yes, it was. Yes, it
It
was.
was really good. And we should remind people that the Walking Dead game is actually coming is out the episodic game. I think episode 4 came out.
Episode 4. Yep.
Yep, and I
Yeah,
think episode 5.
I've played all three episodes so far. Really cool game, actually.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
actually, yeah, very cool. I was
Some people say
really shocked.
some people have said it's actually better than the TV series, which is saying something. So,
Yeah.
yeah. And at least here in the United States, they're promoting they're showing it like they're promoting the upcoming Activision first-person shooter Walking Dead game that they announced a few months ago. They actually showed a
Yeah.
little clip of it. So, we'll see how well that turns out. That may be like the
Yeah.
007 Legends.
Yeah. I have a
Yeah.
feeling it's gonna be. Just based on, I saw the commercial as well during the first episode, and it just looked like your standard first person shooter. It really, really did. So
Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. We'll
yeah,
see.
I would love it. I would love it, but yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. We will be back next week to talk about all sorts of gaming topics. And thank you again for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. And thank you again to those people who are listening to the recorded version of this podcast, who will be posting the recorded version up very, very shortly. Thank you again, Tim, for all of your work behind the scenes.
No worries. Hopefully, the recorded version actually works.
I'm sure it will. But until then, this is John for Tim and Larry. We thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.